Would you turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to Matthew in chapter 5. The Gospel according to Matthew at chapter 5, and as the Lord would enable us, we might consider together verses 33 to 37. The Lord Jesus says, "Again, you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be, yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 to 37, perhaps the summary, a verse to remember, would be verse 37, "Let your communication be, yea, yea, or nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." Would you see yourself as an honest, trustworthy person? Someone whose word can be taken and depended upon, whatever the situation? Do you feel we need to be always reassuring people that what you're saying is the truth? Or do people know that you're a person who is utterly reliable? Is your communication, your speaking to others, of the order of, yea, yea, yes, that's the answer you want? Or no, this is the answer that's true? Or is it one that's full of things to cover over what you really are thinking, or what the situation is? You see, the Lord Jesus was living in an age where, in many ways, the truth had fallen in the streets. Truth meant very little. And sadly, that's the sort of age that we live in, where people think nothing of being economical with the truth if it suits them. And where often it's difficult to know if people are being sincere, are being honest, and that if they promise you something, they will do it, or if they say something, then this is the truth. And certainly in the Lord's day, this practice had grown up of many people, as they spoke, that they would speak an oath, they would give these reassurances that what they were saying was the truth. I swear by this. I swear by that. I am telling you the truth. Don't people still do that today? Wanting to give assurance that they are saying the truth? Well, God's law spoke to that. And we find here the Lord Jesus, as he is explaining the true meaning of the Ten Commandments, and therefore exposing the false reasoning of the Pharisees, that he happens to mention this, because it was a major problem that was affecting the people of his day, and he wanted his followers, his disciples, to be a holy people, a people who were like the God of truth himself, who spoke the truth, and his communication was clear. Yes, no, reliable, like God and his promises. Friends, isn't it a precious truth that all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus? They are yes. They are clear. They are reliable. They are trustworthy. And here the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples, to those who would follow him. And he's saying, you be like that. Be an honest people. He's telling them in effect, look, if you're going to utter these oaths, if you're going to give these assurances, then realize they're a serious thing indeed. They should be totally unnecessary. Let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. Whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Well, in living in a day and age where there is so much untrustworthiness, and where people are often more deceiving rather than speaking the truth, and when that can affect us who would follow the Lord, we have to realize that we need to be a trustworthy people, because that, amongst other things, reflects in our own witness. And how can you and I be faithful witnesses for the Lord as followers of Him if our communication is not yea, yea, nay, nay? Let's then consider the Lord's teaching here as He calls us to be a trustworthy, truthful people. We notice two things. First of all, the swearing of oaths is a serious thing. And then secondly, the swearing of oaths should be an unnecessary thing. It's a serious thing, it should be an unnecessary thing. The Lord here is dealing with the attitude to oaths that was common amongst the Jews in his days. Here were the Pharisees, the teacher of the law. And what were they teaching the people? Well, they were saying, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. So if you're going to swear an oath, and especially if you're going to say something like that I swear by God that I am telling the truth, make sure you do such a thing, or that you swear by God that you will do something for someone, then you will do it. The Jews were saying, well, if you do such a thing, perform unto the Lord thine oaths. Do as thou hast said. And well, as far as they went, they were speaking the truth. They were essentially reflecting what you have in the third commandment, don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, and other teaching in the law, in Leviticus 19:12 and elsewhere, where the Lord had said that they were to perform their oaths unto the Lord. So what did the Jews do? They avoided swearing oaths to the Lord. They just wouldn't do it. They wouldn't mention His name. They knew that it was blasphemy to say that to call God as a witness to what they were saying when they had no intention of telling the truth whatsoever. They knew it was wrong to carelessly use God's name in vain. How sad it is that so often in the streets and in the media we hear God's name being abused, being misused, being blasphemously treated. They knew that if they called God to witness, it was a serious thing. So they avoided doing it. But what did they do? They did what happens when you get a legalistic mindset. You categorize one thing as sin and ignore many other things which are sinful. And that's what they did. They said, well, oaths to the Lord are obviously sinful, but you may make other oaths. And as long as you do not mention the name of the Lord, then that's okay. And they ended up with various rules categorizing what was an important oath and what was a less important oath. And they would swear by various things as they gave assurances to people as they spoke with them. We find the Lord Jesus in Matthew 23 criticizing them and calling them hypocrites. For example, he says to them, you are blind guides. He would say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. In other words, if you say by the temple, this is true, well, it doesn't really matter. But if you say by the gold of the temple, this is true, then you're a debtor. What stupidity. But that's the way they treated things. They had all these rules, all these divisions, and the point was they could use that to make excuses and say, well, I didn't really mean what I promised. It wasn't if I called God as a witness when I promised to help you and to undertake for you, to deliver you from some problem. Really, depending whether it suited, they would give a strong reassurance or no reassurance at all. In other words, honesty wasn't really something that was important to them. And they would find ways to wriggle out of their promises. What does Christ say? He says, I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. What do you remind us here? Well, surely this. First of all, God is involved in every oath. You see, there they were and they were saying, don't use God's name. And if you don't use God's name, really God's not involved in this at all. But if you mention the earth or heaven, that's okay. And Jesus is saying here, look, whatever you swear by or give this assurance by, it will be connected to God anyway. He's involved in it. And therefore, what you're doing is breaking the third commandment. You are taking the name of the Lord your God in vain whenever you swear by anything which is in any way connected with him. You swear by heaven? Well, it's God's throne. The earth? It's his footstool. Jerusalem? It's the city of the great king. In other words, God's connected with them all. You swear by your head. That is, would you say, well, effectively, I will die if this isn't true. He's saying, look, you can't even control the colour of your hair. Isn't that true? People may dye their hair, but soon their hair goes back to its normal colour unless they keep on doing that sort of thing. They can't control the colour of their hair. Never mind control the day of their death. Because it is God who is in control of the hair. God who is in control. Not only the day of our birth, the day of our death. And what Jesus is saying, he's reminding you and me that God is involved in everything. And that the earth belongs unto the Lord and all that it contains. But friends, the Lord relates us here to the swearing of oath, but that's something that applies to everything. All that you have in your homes belongs to God. And you're stewards of everything he gives you. Your health, your clothes, your house, your car, your children. Your God's. Your land. It's not your land to do what you want with it. It is the Lord's. And what does that mean? It is your duty to be a steward of all that he gives you and to use it for him and for his glory. And to fail to do that and to see his relationship to it lead you into sin. But more than that, Not only was God involved in it, the oath, it meant then that God was a witness to every oath. You see, if God is named, that was the Jews' attitude, God's involved. He is the witness. You get two people together, and there's a witness there, and they listen to some agreement. I'm sure you've all at times signed documents. You've had to sign them in front of witnesses, and these witnesses are testifying that you are signing this, and that you're making this declaration. You're doing it before them. Therefore, these are the witnesses who will be called if you are found to be unfaithful and what you have signed up to. Well, the Jews knew God was a witness. But the Lord here is saying, look, God's involved in everything. The heaven is God's throne. The earth is his footstool. Jerusalem is the city of the great king. God's involved. In other words, don't be thinking God isn't a witness because you haven't mentioned his name. How deceitful sin is. How foolish to think God isn't a witness just because he's not mentioned. Friend, isn't it true that God is a witness to all that we do, to all that we say? Before you speak, he knows what you're thinking, and he knows the words that will proceed from your mouth. For in my mouth, before I speak, not any word can be, but altogether, lo, Lord, it is well known to thee. Psalm 139. Friends, he knows what you and I are saying. And should that not control the very way we speak to one another? We're so ready to speak. And some of us are more forward to speak than others. It's a temperament we have. And we can blurt out things. And if we stopped and we thought, God, the God of heaven, hears what I have said. Does he approve of that? Is it appropriate to speak that way in his presence? Well, would that not curb many hurtful things we say to others? Would it not curb that tendency to be less than 100% honest when it suits, that equivocation, that just slight veiling over the truth, that being economical with the truth when it suits? He hears, and he's he hears our promises. He knows when you and I fail to keep them. In other words, we must be honest. We must keep all our promises and all the oaths that we have sworn. And we must be honest in our conversation. Now, really, the Lord was saying to them, look, be very wary of swearing oaths. Be very wary of swearing oaths. They are something that are only for serious situations. You see, what were the Jews doing? They had all these silly oaths. And it would become a way of speaking. In certain cultures, you get that. You might find that certain names are mentioned. In Roman Catholic circles, perhaps Mary will be mentioned much, and almost a swearing by her name or one of the saints' names. In other cultures, you get different things, but you end up with so many assurances given. I assure you. I want to assure you I'm telling the truth. I want to assure you I mean what I say. And all saying, look, get away from all this having to give silly, trifling assurances. Swearing by heaven or by the earth or by Jerusalem or whatever it might be. God's name is God and God's honour is involved in all those things. And therefore, if you're going to actually call God as a witness and actually swear an oath and actually implicate yourself and call down effectively God's judgment upon you, if you fail to keep it, that's a serious thing. Stop and think of what you're doing. Friends, that's why surely we do not often swear oaths and vows. There should be no need to. But it is a serious, a solemn thing. That's why the Lord is saying, swear not at all. If you read Scripture, you'll find that the whole of Scripture would indicate to us, he's not saying, never swear an oath. He's not saying, you have to go to court and be a witness there. You've got to take an oath and swear by Almighty God to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He's not saying that. But what he's saying is, don't treat God and his name, the things connected with him, in a trifling way. It's a serious thing to call God to witness whenever you speak. You might say, but surely it says there, swear not at all. What he's not doing is prohibiting oaths as such, but saying, be restrained. And how do we know that? Well, you look at Abraham's life, for example, he swore oaths. If you look at the apostles, you find that they will at times, they did in their writings, called God as a witness that they were speaking the truth. You find in the Lord's trial, he himself was put an oath. I adjured you by the Almighty God. Are you the Son of God? I call God to witness. Tell me this, are you the Son of God? For his Lord say, I am. He doesn't say, don't put me under oath. He speaks the truth. In fact, don't we find that God himself, because he swore by no greater, swore by himself, to give poor, weak sinners like us assurance that he was telling us the truth and he would do what he had said when he promised the Savior and promised salvation through him. You get that in Genesis 15 with the covenant that he made with Abraham. You've got the same thing in Hebrews chapter 6. In other words, you end up in the law court. You end up taking marriage vows. They're solemn, important things. But this is something which is serious and isn't for trifling matters. Which brings us to the second thing. The swearing of oaths is an unnecessary thing. You see, what's the Lord saying here? He's saying, look, let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. He's saying, you shouldn't need to be doing it. You should be living in such a way that people trust you. Friends, isn't that what we should want to be like? Isn't that what we should be striving after? And in a day and age where people are so untrustworthy and so sly and so deceitful, we're to be so different. We're to be straight, honest, upright, truthful people. Let your communication be yea, yea, yes, or no. Simple answers, clear answers. Whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. What's the Lord saying? Well, surely what he's reminding us really is that oath swearing exposes man's tendency to deceitfulness. Think of the Jews. They're always saying, I swear by the temple, I swear by heaven, that I'll do this, I'll do that. That was their way of speaking that they had fallen into. In the same way today that people often blasphemously misuse God's name or they use filthy words, it's just a habit they get into that's difficult to break. And this habit of swearing off oaths actually exposed this tendency to deceitfulness. Why do we need to reassure anyone? Unless there is the problem of deceit and the tendency of people to lie. And what you find is that those who are, you could say, the biggest liars, give the greatest reassurances that they are telling you the truth. You know what it's like. People come out with things and give great reassurances. Oh, they're telling the truth, and they can appear from outward appearances that, well, they definitely must be saying the truth. And yet deep down you've got this niggling doubt. I know what they're really like. They're not the most honest, trustworthy people. They've got a track record of just telling all sorts of lies when it suits them. And the greater the deceiver, the greater will be his assurances that he is telling the truth. In other words, there's almost something wrong if people are always having to assure us they're telling the truth. Because reassurances appear because of facts and the fact of deceit and doubts about the honesty and integrity of people. And to cover over failures, people make greater promises and give more reassurances. Well, I'll do it this time. In other words, oaths. And the swearing of oaths is what's happening there. It actually undermined what they were trying to do. Rather than reassuring people that were telling them the truth, they could actually only indicate a lack of honesty. And you see, where there is honesty, oaths are rendered unnecessary. Oaths don't give reassurance. Rather, where they're used most, you tend to find there's most deceit. What is the best reassurance someone can be given? A track record of honesty. Does someone know you keep your promises? You promised to help them. They were in a difficult situation. And what happened? You helped them. You were honest. And as you are honest, and honest in every aspect of your life and conversation, people will see that. And they'll say, there's a trustworthy person. Have they spoken? You can take them at their word. You know they're speaking the truth. Friends, doesn't that mean you and I should be slow to make promises and careful to keep them? How often have you said to someone, well, I'll try and give you a hand, I'll try and help you, and then you've forgotten all about it? The person you've said that to may not have forgotten. And what's their response? Well, it's cheap words. I'll try and help. Don't worry, I'll not let you down. But what happened? You let them down, and they remember. And it reflects on your trustworthiness. We should be slow to make promises and careful to keep promises. We should be aware of doing anything which calls into question our honesty. Some people are given to great exaggeration. We should never exaggerate anything. Let your yea be yea, your nay, nay. Let us not be a people who are sly. Let us be a people who are open and honest, who are consistent, who are careful in our keeping of the ninth commandment. Let your conversation be yea, yea, and nay, nay. What's required in the ninth commandment? Well, don't be a false witness. It's so easy just to say that, but what does it mean? Listen to the Westminster Larger Catechism. The duties required in the ninth commandment are the preserving and promoting of truth between man and man, and the good name of our neighbour as well as our own, appearing and standing for truth, and from the heart, sincerely, freely, clearly, and fully, speaking the truth and only the truth in matters of judgment and justice, and in all other things whatsoever. A charitable esteem of our neighbours, loving and desiring and rejoicing in their good name, sorrowing for and covering of their infirmities, freely acknowledging their gifts. How slow we are in doing that, we'll tell by their own gifts and skills, but to acknowledge their gifts and their graces, defending their innocency, a ready receiving of a good report, an unwillingness to admit of an evil report concerning them, discouraging talebearers, flatterers and slanderers, love and care of our own good name, defending it when need requires, keeping of lawful promises, studying and practicing of whatsoever things are true, honest, lovely, and of a good report. That's what you and I must do, each one of us. What's forbidden? Well, we're told all prejudicing of the truth and the good name of our neighbour as well as our own, especially in public judicature, giving false evidence, suborning false witnesses, wittingly appear and pleading for an evil cause, outfacing and overbearing the truth, passing unjust sentence, calling good evil good and good evil, rewarding the wicked according to the work of the righteous, and the righteous according to the work of the wickedness, forgery, concealing the truth, undue silence in a just cause, holding our peace when iniquity calls either for a reproof from ourselves or complaint to others, speaking the truth unseasonably or maliciously to a wrong end, perverting it to a wrong meaning or a doubtful or equivocal expressions to the prejudice of truth or justice, speaking untruth, lying, slandering, backbiting, detracting, tail-bearing, whispering, scoffing, reviling, rash, harsh, impartial, censuring, misconstruing intentions, words and actions, flattering, vainglorious boasting, thinking or speaking too highly or too meanly of ourselves or others, denying the gifts and graces of God, aggravating smaller faults, hiding, excusing or extenuating of sins when called to a free confession, unnecessary discovering of infirmities, raising false rumours, deceiving and countenancing evil reports and stopping our ears against just defence, evil suspicion, envying or grieving at the deserted credit of any, endeavouring or desiring to impair it, rejoicing in their disgrace and infamy, scornful contempt, fond admiration, breach of lawful promises, neglecting such things as are of good report, and practicing or not avoiding ourselves or not hindering what we can in others, such things as procure an evil and an ill name. Friends, what a list. Haven't you all broken that commandment? And you see, what Jesus is saying here is this: act in such a way that you're honest. Well, let's think of why we should be honest. Let us think of how we should so seek to put into practice what we read up in the Catechism there, that people could see they're honest people. Friends, isn't a lack of honesty dishonouring to God? Isn't He the God of truth? Jehovah, the God of truth. The one who loves the truth, who delights in the truth, who is not a man that he should lie, or the son of a man that he should repent and go back in his word. If he has said he will do it, well, is he not offended if he sees that in us? Because he hates lies. He hates untruthfulness, a lack of honesty. So what happens? Whenever you and I fail to say yea, yea, nay, nay, we're not acting like Him. He is the God of truth. The one whose promises are yea and amen. Praise God they are. We can rely on Him. But you see, whenever you fail, you're not being like Him.
You're acting in the opposite way to him. Doesn't it show how much that image of God and man has been marred? When instead of honesty amongst people, there's so much untruth. What about you, dear believer, whose hope is that you have been renewed by the Spirit of God after the image of him who created you? You're called to be like the God of truth. And by the grace of God, isn't now your hope that you're becoming more and more holy, being sanctified, being made like the God of truth? Well, whenever you fail, whenever you are not saying, yea, yea, nay, nay, you're going back the way, not forward. Here's your calling. To be holy as he is holy. And therefore, to be like the God of truth. Let us love the truth. And let us love truthfulness. And let us pursue that truthfulness in all this detail that we read of. Be like Christ. One who was truthful and so clear and honest. Surely God will chastise us if we're not like that. You see what happens when our speech is not yea, yea, or nay, nay? You dishonor God. The God who created you, dear believer, the God who redeemed you. Don't do it. And can't we therefore say also, a lack of honesty is hurtful to man? It doesn't help society, does it, when you can't trust people? You think of how there's so much disillusionment with politics, you can't trust any of our politicians. You never know if they're really talking the truth, or if they're being sincere when they do say true things. What a problem. And when you bring it down to individual levels, in a family, in a village, in a workplace, how you can't trust people, how it hurts, how it brings hurt, how it brings problems, how there's a lack of peace, how ultimately it leads to fighting and wars between people. Well, do we love our neighbour? Let us be a people who speak the truth. And whose yea is yea, whose nay is nay, because whatever else comes forth is evil. And therefore, can't we also see that a lack of honesty is destructive of our witness? Why should anyone listen to you when you speak to them about the Saviour? If they end up saying, well, I don't know if they're really a trustworthy person. You can't take them at their word. Whether it's promises or statements made. You see, as we love our fellow man and as we love holiness, we'll be a witness to God for the truth of the gospel. And if people can't trust us in minor things, how can they trust us? And the most important thing of all, the gospel of God's dear Son. And people say of you, he, she, they're straight, they're honest. They say what they mean. They are sincere. And therefore they know, are you pleading with them to come to the Saviour? They're sincere. Are you warning them of sin? They're sincere. It's not done out of malice. It's not done to show them up. It's not done to build up your own pride. It's because you're honest and you're sincere and you care for them and you seek what is good for their soul. Well, In an age when there's much dishonesty, how we are called to be different, called to be holy. Let us be witnesses by letting our yea be yea, our nay, nay, being like Christ. Are you honest? Are you trustworthy? Remember the fearful warning given towards the end of the book of Revelation. Given that wonderful vision of heaven. A beautiful place. A desirable place. Where God is. Where Christ is. Where there is peace. Where there is every true blessing. For sinners saved by grace. And what are we told? Nothing whatsoever shall enter in. That is unclean. Or maketh an abomination. Or a lie. But those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So let us not think this is trivial. Let us not think this really doesn't relate to us. Liars shall not be there. What a solemn thing. Are you trustworthy? Are you honest? Are you truthful? Well, God's people, surely they want to be. Though at times they know they fail. But they want to be. Let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. And if you have to confess and say, well, I don't know really if at times I'm a very honest person. Then that exposes the sin in your life. And the sin that needs repented of. For you shall not enter into heaven. If you are given over to this sin, as well as many other sins, nothing else shall enter into heaven which maketh an abomination or a lie. Repent of that sin and close with Christ. Seek that forgiveness which is to be found in him. That's what you need. Be a person who by the grace of God seeks to the communication yea, yea, and nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these comes of evil. Let's pray.